Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a random start for you here for this show here. This was a story. Nick Christensen covered this. He covers a lot of the crime news out of Missoula. Oftentimes the crime news involves the transients that they've been importing into Missoula over the past couple of decades, of course. But anyway, this headline caught my eye, so I shared this on our Montana Talks website. Here's the headline. Man refuses to stop stealing from this Missoula store. So it's a guy who keeps stealing from the same store in Missoula, who keeps getting the opportunity to keep stealing from the same store in Missoula. And so anyway, I shared this on X and Facebook earlier this morning. Man refuses to stop stealing from this Missoula store. Or the alternate headline could be this: Missoula refuses to stop releasing this guy from jail. So again, why don't they just put criminals behind bars instead of just keep putting the criminals right back out on the streets to keep committing more crimes? And by the way, that's another factor when it comes to inflation and why everything is so expensive right now. It's not just the massive federal government spending that we've seen in the last 3 years at the hands of Kamala Harris and John Tester. That's the reason why everything costs so much. 22% is what they say the inflation is here in Montana alone. But another factor is the fact that these liberal prosecutors and these liberal judges keep putting these criminals right back out on the streets to keep stealing from these stores, and then the stores lose more money, and then prices go up on top of the massive inflation that's already going on out there. All right, what about these jobs numbers that just came out? These jobs numbers that just came out, Maria Bartiromo nailed it. Fox Business's Maria Bartiromo was on with Laura Ingraham last night. She said, come Thursday morning, they're probably going to have to revise these job numbers by close to 1 million jobs. Close to 1 million jobs they claimed were created that were not created. And that's exactly what just came out. 818,000, the largest revision in 15 years. 818,000 jobs they claimed were created that were not created. Richard and Jordan just messaged us on the Montana Talks app. Fox Business host Charles Payne made a really good point last night on the Gutfeld show. There are investors in the markets that make major investment decisions based on those job reports. He warned that we are about to witness a massive shift in the markets that have the potential to spiral our country into a massive recession based on their lies. This administration has financial blood on their hands. Maria Bartiromo said something similar, saying that this could now trigger a recession. But don't tell that to the folks in Chicago. They're too busy hiding behind their walls and their massive security, celebrating, you know, living it up high on the hog while the rest of you suffer under their policies.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, there was a chance we were going to have Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat presidential candidate, back on the show with us here. She joined us on the show when she was in Montana. What was it, last month? Her team reached out, hey, do you want to have Tulsi back on? We said, yeah, that'd be great. So we thought that was going to be today, but then her schedule kind of changed. But that's all right, because we want to give you an update on what happened in Butte yesterday with this recount. You know, they conducted a recount yesterday from the primary election that took place nearly 3 months ago. And, you know, and for those of you who listened to the show yesterday, we kind of explained why they had to do the recount, what triggered it. Basically, it was, you know, an incredible citizen watchdog group that said, hey, these numbers don't match. And so thanks to their work, that's what triggered this recount process. But State Senator Mike Cuff out of Eureka was there monitoring the process yesterday. Senator Cuff, great to have you on the show. And I guess big picture, tell us what you saw yesterday. Give us the update.
Yes, thanks very much. And what we saw was more of what it was the first day. First day, we simply counted ballots and separated. And I'm saying we, but the clerk and recorder staff in Silver Bow County actually did it. We very closely observed. Yesterday, as they actually began running the ballots through the counting machine, and this was done by court order, and rather than a hand count, the court order also specified a machine count, which is a good thing with the timeline that we're working against to get things certified in order to get the general election ballots printed. Bottom line, very little change in overall number of votes cast in the primary election versus the recount. And yes, there were a few, there's a few differences here and there. I'm not prepared to go into that in any depth. I'm back up in Helena today, by the way, and soon to head home where I thought I was going to spend all week, getting ready for the Lincoln County Fair and the huge bull thing that I'd like to invite everybody to attend. It's a huge event, Eureka, Montana. But anyway, in regard to the count, we worked side by side. They would read off the precinct voting numbers count. Two, three of our people would record them and match it with the recording that they had. And we walked all the way through and at the very end reviewed everything and talked about it. But part of the issue, there is a number that appears on the record that is really what indicates that there were an extra 1,000 ballots unaccounted for. I don't know where those ballots are. Truthfully, I don't think they ever existed. I think someplace there's perhaps an error in our systems management that caused that number to be inflated, because the count we counted yesterday was the same as what, almost the same as what was counted in the primary election.
Hmm.
Now those, excuse me. So those match, but still the proposal, the number over on the other side, that where that number is generated from, I have the IT experts in Secretary of State's office searching through that, trying to find an answer of how that may have happened. So, but bottom line, no major changes in the results of that Butte Silver Bow election, except there was one precinct person, which is a relatively smaller number of votes, that count did change. Folks are no doubt looking at that right now and seeing what changed. But the major elections, there was a run for judge there very close and changed very little on that one. And so at any rate.
Interesting. Yeah, I see NBC Montana reporting here. It turns out despite the original count of 12,077 votes found to be 1,143 votes high, it did not have impact on any races except for that precinct committee man position that you mentioned there. Yesterday, I know you and Senator Manzella, I shared some of the audio in our statewide show here, talked about how, first off, hats off to Senator Manzella and this citizen watchdog group that flagged this issue and ended up leading to this recount taking place. But there may be other issues in other counties. Are you still of the belief that there may be other issues in other counties across Montana as well?
Yeah, that's one of the questions that's still open. And our committee work continues. We were assigned to go down and observe that election, take note on what we saw and heard. We were able to participate more than I imagined. Now, that 12,077 number that you mentioned, that's the one that appears, I believe, to be inflated. And it showed up on both the primary and the recount. Now, these other counties, are compared against the same column on the balance sheet. So that's what I said, that I have Secretary of State's office searching through those records to see if there is anything in there. Where does that number come from? How did it get there?
So was there a clerical error, or did ballots get counted maybe twice or something like that? What was the error there?
That was anticipated. Clerk and recorder at one point had clearly anticipated that the difference, looking for the difference, thought that something may have been counted twice. In going through, we found no indication that anything was
counted twice. Interesting. All right. Well, Senator Cuff, stand by if you can through the break here, because you mentioned the Lincoln County Fair right around the corner, and then you got another big event taking place in Lincoln County that you wanted to invite everybody to. So stand by, because we want to promote that event too. We want to hear from you. Stand by, and then we'll have another guest right after Senator Cuff.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we got our great guests in studio to talk about all the fun we had on the water last week and then some other incredible events that they lined up for some incredible American warriors. So we'll introduce you to our guests in just a second. But back to State Senator Mike Cuff real quickly here. Mike, getting away from the ballot recount in Butte yesterday. Man, you got the fair right around the corner, and then you wanted to shoot the bull about that bull thing that's coming up in Eureka here pretty soon, too. Yeah, let our folks across the state know what you got coming up.
Before I jump there, let me quickly say I want to recognize Senators Edie McClafferty, Ryan Lynch, Teresa Mancella for sure. She is certainly a real warrior in this world. And Senator Shelley Vance, who, along with myself and our staff analyst, they all did yeoman's work down there. So, but anyway,
that was a bipartisan committee.
Where I was supposed to be this week was helping my wife line out booths and spaces on the fairgrounds for where people park their campers and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I went down to Butte for this. But Lincoln County Fair starts Thursday, Friday. Saturday's a big day, 4-H auction, huge 4-H auction, Saturday afternoon. Followed by everybody troops over to the food court where all the churches have a piece of the action on different kinds of food. And then it's off to the bull thing, the Lincoln County Fair bull thing, T-H-I-N-G, which is a huge bull riding event. I believe there's 30 contestants and a bunch of really ranked bulls, some top-end cowboys, and there's always a few good local Canadian cowboys and Montana cowboys in the middle of stuff.
That's right, especially there right across the border. All right, well, Senator Cuff, great to hear from you. Thanks for giving a shout out there to Lincoln County and the upcoming events as well. Well, by the way, I'm thinking back, I had such a great time. I got right on the U.S.-Canada border because Senator Cuff took me out on his pontoon boat on Lake Coconusa, and so it was so cool to float and ride along the border there. But I was out on my pontoon on Friday. You guys heard I took the day off on Friday so I could get out and see some of these great American warriors and their families get out on the water. We've got a retired colonel Tim Small in the house, and Rita Giebink as well in the house with us. Colonel Small, Tim, great to see you. And, man, hats off to you and Rita here and really everybody who helped put this this retreat together. You're a big part of the Special Forces Association, the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association here in Montana. So tell us what your vision was for all these events over the past few days.
Well, so the 28th chapter of the Special Forces Association is the Montana Association for Green Berets, retired, and we even have some active duty in the association. And we've been putting on these retreats or respites for years now, where we bring out active duty soldiers that have been deployed, haven't been with their families, and just haven't had that family vacation, that time off, and that opportunity to unwind after being downrange for quite some time. So we like to bring them out to Montana and show them that, hey, this is a great place to unwind, relax, and spend some time with your family. And we have a couple different events. We have one up in Whitefish where in February where we bring them skiing every year. And there's one down in Ruby Springs where we bring them fly fishing every year. And another one on a dude ranch out in Bob Marshall Wilderness. But there wasn't any events on the eastern portion of Montana. And so I wanted to bring them out here and show them that, hey, we've got some fun things to do out here. So we brought them out to the battlefield and we hired a historian, a Crow historian, to give them a tour of the battlefield in the morning. And then we brought in a weapons expert and historian to let them shoot some of the weapons that were fired in the battle. Then we brought them to a Mustangs baseball game that evening and had a tailgate with the mayor. And then the next day we brought them out to Yellowtail and had a wonderful day out on the water with you also. And then the last day we brought them to Red Lodge and let them hop on slingshots and go over the pass and then horseback trip. And we just had a wonderful time with these guys, and they all gave us very positive feedback, especially probably the most touching ones were some of the families that said, hey, this was a lifetime experience for us, and it was such a great opportunity for us to unwind. But we had so much local support from so many vendors and so many organizations. Rita was my coordinator for all of these events and my right and left hand at times.
Yeah, Rita, it was so cool seeing you out there on the water. You were cruising around on your jet ski. We had Brett's RV and Marine was gracious enough to not only donate this really fancy pontoon boat, but they had a three-man crew out there driving these families around.
We're so grateful.
And then Matt McDonald, who put on the Yellowstone Air Show last year, he brought his Montana Wake Company surf boat out there, had some other families on that one. Just incredible. But yeah, talk about what some of the families were telling you, because I love the fact that they had their kids there. I mean, it's great that we're taking care of these Green Berets, these active duty Green Berets that are sacrificing, gone all the time, right? But one of the dads told me, he's like, I don't get to be a dad that often. And so right. He was just so happy to have his kids out here for something like this.
It's a beautiful thing to watch, too, when they show up the first night and they're a little tense and the kids are a little tense and the moms don't know what they're supposed to do. And by the last day, the kids are just running free and the dads are out in the river sitting on a rock fishing with their sons. And I have the unique perspective of being able to communicate a little bit more with the wives and spend a little bit more time with the kids. And when I have a woman tear up and tell me that she's never seen her husband relax like that and that she's so grateful to see her kids connect with their dad, and it just puts it into perspective that while these guys are out risking their lives, these women are at home holding up the fort. And we don't often realize that. And I think that it's really a beautiful thing to watch from day one to day four of what just a little bit of free time and a little bit of generosity and a little bit of safety and no responsibility can do for these families. And Montana really showed up. I'll tell you what, this side of the state just blew it out of the park for sure. We're so fortunate. We're people like you bringing your boat and all the guys on the boats and the food, Ribbon Chop House and Burger Dive. I mean, we showed them the best of the best, and they had a great time.
Well, and Tim Small, that's what's so cool too is, you know, a lot of the bulk of the membership right now for the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association is on the western side of the state. You know, the legendary Willie Blazer at Willie's Distillery is in Ennis. You got Ike Slaughter and Bob Brew and those guys in the Bitterroot in the Missoula area, Sean Medulla, Frank, and a lot of the guys up in the Flathead. But, you know, you're in Billings and you're like, man, we got to build the ranks out here on the eastern side of the state. So that's part of what you're trying to do here is get the word out about the association. So if there are, you know, Green Beret or Green Beret veterans out there, or strap hangers who served in some of these units, you might be able to get an associate membership in the association as well. But you're trying to build the ranks of this incredible association as well, especially given the history of the first Special Service Force that trained right here at Fort Harrison in Montana.
Oh, most definitely. And there are a few strap hangers out there that are hiding in the wilderness that we need to pull in, because it is so important for us to get together and just be a brotherhood. And for them to know that, hey, there's other Green Berets out here that got your back, and we are here to support you in any way we can.
Well, we literally found a guy because we saw a business truck driving up Shiloh, and it had the Special Forces logo on it, and we called him immediately, and that guy jumped right in and was really happy to learn about it and be part of it. So it's amazing how you make those connections.
I think that was the A-Team contracting guys. I was telling him, I was like, hey, A-Team, you should be a part of this team over here, right? Well, we've got Garrett Samples on the phone lines with us. Garrett is with Brett's RV and Marine, and so it was great having him out there with that three-man team. But he's also currently serving in the Montana Air National Guard, if I remember right. Garrett, what was it like being out there from your standpoint, taking care of these active duty soldiers?
Oh, man, it was fun. And it was really good for the two guys that came with me to be able to see the impact that we can have and get these guys out on the lake with one of our products. And they were able to see our product live in action and for a good cause as well. So a lot of fun. Driving the boat was awesome. That was actually the first time driving the boat for one of our guys. So that was a big old pontoon, bigger than anything he'd ever handled before. So he was enjoying that and being able to see the smiles on the family members of the active duty members' faces was what really drove it home for him as well.
Yeah, especially, man, you had like the ultimate pontoon party boat out there. It had a fold-down bar in the back with actual bar stools that you can sit at while you're cruising around on the lake. I was like, man, that is cool. What was it like, too, for you personally, just, you know, having the camaraderie with, you know, fellow military folks out there on the water?
Well, that was good, too, and being an Air Force guy, of course, there's a little bit of the chatter back and forth of, well, you're not even going to be stationed anywhere that's 10 minutes further than a Walmart. So there's all those kind of back and forth. But in the end, like, I'm really appreciative of their service, and they said the same back to me. And these guys, though, they're the real war heroes that are unsung, and I'm glad that we could give them that recognition out on the lake and show them a good time.
Well, thanks again, and please say thanks to all our friends, Dustin Bretz, Aaron Brown, and thanks to you, Garrett Samples. Thanks for calling in. Tim Small, you know, I was chatting with Aaron Brown, and he said, hey, you want to get these guys out on Georgetown Lake? You know, the Bretz RV and Butte's happy to support. You want to get them on Flathead Lake? Bretz RV and Missoula's happy to support, too, so they just love being a part of it. And, let's see. I got to take a quick break. Stand by. I want to get some final thoughts from both Colonel Tim Small here and Rita Giebink as well. And, tell you a little bit more about the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association. And then we're going to talk about a big expansion for telecommunications, connectivity. TDS Telecom is going to join us in the house here in just a few minutes to give us an update on their efforts statewide.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Weather concerns across the globe continue to impact agricultural producers. Agricultural meteorologist Matt Macon shares more on what the weather has been like in parts of Europe and Asia that have been impacting U.S. grain prices.
There's been quite a lot of volatility back there in weather conditions and crop conditions. You know, Southern Europe has really endured a lot of heat and drought. So there's going to be a need there for sure. And then you get Black Sea, and then you get into Russian regions, and they're actually faring better. The frequency of the moisture has been a bit more suitable for them.
As for South America,
by and large, we're still worried about drought conditions in northern Argentina, southern Brazil, especially as La Nina kicks in potentially. That's going to be another drought area of the world to watch out for, because La Nina does to them what it does to the southern U.S. and dries them out. So big cattle country, some corn and things there to watch out for next year. So that would be next year's stuff, maybe too dry. In that region.
And with the likelihood of La Nina developing this fall and into the winter, Macon says that producers should keep an eye on Australia.
Australia, normally they do better in La Nina. They get better water. But the corn coming out of China, you know, there's always the export, import question mark for China, too. And it's not like La Nina leaves them alone. It can have impact from their rice and the corn regions.
For Montana and the Northern Rockies, La Ninas usually bring moisture in the fall and wintertime. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, thanks to Tim and Rita for sticking around through the break here. Retired Colonel Tim Small, the Vice President of the Special Forces Association, the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association here in Montana. Tim, man, what else do you want to tell folks across Montana? I know there's probably some folks out there that are thinking, hey, how can we either A, be a member of the organization if there are some Green Berets or retired Green Berets that are out there, but also, you know, if there's people who want to show support for these respites, show support for these active duty soldiers, you know, they can donate to the SFA chapter as well.
Yeah, at www.sfa28.org is our website. And right in there, there's a tab for donating, and it also gives an update on all the respites and everything we're doing. But one of the biggest things I want to say is that every single door we knocked on in Billings was wide open and ready to donate, from Cabela's to Ribbon Chop to the Burger Dive. Nobody turned us down, and we want to make this an annual event. So we plan on knocking on a lot more doors next year to give more people opportunity to participate and in some type of way, because all of the participants were just overwhelmed with the people of Montana and Billings and how friendly they were and how welcoming they were and how supportive they were of the warrior and the soldier.
Rita, one of my favorite quotes is, anybody can love the mountains, but it takes a soul to love the prairie. And I love the fact that, you know, these families were telling you that this was like one of the best trips of their entire lifetime. Because, you know, we always think, you know, a lot of the people that tourists, especially that come to Montana, it's always Western Montana, Western Montana, Western, and the mountains and the mountains and the mountains. And so the fact that you brought them out to Central and Eastern Montana, and they're like, wow, trip of a lifetime.
Absolutely
is so cool.
Absolutely blown away, especially that the trip over the hill toward Hardin, when you reach the top of that hill on the highway, and there's just that expanse of such beauty that Montana has to offer. And my favorite moment is when you hit the top of the hill right there at Yellowtail, and you realize that this beautiful thing has been hiding there. And they just were absolutely in love with it. And again, the community members, every single person that they met was open arms and welcoming, and we had so much support that we really stood out, and I was incredibly proud to be able to say we were in Billings, Montana, and these people left in tears. I'm not kidding. You know, kids crying, wives crying,
oh,
husbands
wow.
hugging their wives, I may have cried a little too. it was amazing. It was amazing. I was super proud to be from here. Super proud to be involved with the organization, and really looking forward to doing it next year. So we'll be out twisting arms.
Very cool. Well, thanks again, and thanks for all you do, and for of course Colonel Small for your years of service and sacrifice as well. And thanks for being with us here on Montana Talks.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Yeah, great to see both of you. And a big hello to also all of the Chapter 28 SFA members out there who helped make this thing happen as well, fundraising efforts and more. All right. Let's see. I've got let me sneak on while we transition microphones here for just a second. Linda in Scobie wanted to give a heads up. Speaking of Eastern Montana, she wanted to give a heads up on some events that are going on the High Line and in Northeast Montana today. I think we mentioned it yesterday. Judge Dan Wilson, who is running for Montana Supreme Court, is making his way across Highway 2. Linda, what did you want to share with our audience here?
Well, he's been traveling since yesterday morning. Conrad, they had a great meeting. He will be in Glasgow tonight after being in Havre and Malta. Tomorrow, he will be at Scobie at the golf course from 10 to 11:30. Plentywood tomorrow from 12:30 to 2. Culbertson, 3:30 to 4:30. Sydney, he will get a respite at 5:30 at the Elks Club. And he's getting to see lots of our Big Sky country, and we're delighted that we get to actually visit and meet and greet him. and find out why he has decided to run for Montana Supreme Court Justice, and that he is committed to following the Constitution as written, and he will not legislate from the bench. So tonight, check him out at Glasgow at Sam and Jerry's at 7 to 8:30.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I got a chance. I actually first ran into him. We were doing a live show from Malta. And he happened to be in town. He, I think, spent some years in Malta growing up as a kid and then still has family in Phillips County. So he dropped in on the show. But, yeah, he's the judge who stood up to these lockdowns. You know, when the previous governor's administration was ordering these small businesses and these Montana restaurants and bars to shut down, but not telling the big box stores to shut down, this judge said no. No, that's against our Constitution, and so he stood up for freedom when it really mattered. So that's Judge Dan Wilson, who's running for the Montana Supreme Court. All right, appreciate that, Linda. Well, next up in studio here, TDS Fiber is apparently got some big news today. They're building out their expansion here in Montana on the ground, and we've got their chief operating officer in the house. Mark, great to see you. Thanks for joining us here on Montana Talks.
I think so. Thanks for having me. It's been great. We've been here starting to build our fiber network here in Montana really aggressively. I'm happy to announce an additional expansion in the Billings area. And get exciting stuff.
And I apologize. I got the email from Mark. Shane West is actually the chief operating officer who's here with us here. So I do a lot of juggling around here on this show. So it's easy for me to drop something here and there. But and I was talking about being out on the lake. So it's like my mind is focused on pontoon boats right now. You know,
I got that. I got a pontoon at home, and it was my wife's biggest present she ever wanted. And I'm like, okay, we got it.
That's a good wife right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the big, first you got big news for Billings that you're announcing here today, but obviously you've been expanding, building out your network throughout the state, Butte, Great Falls, Helena, and Missoula.
Yeah, we've been here for probably 4 years, been installing for about a little over a year. We're going to put probably $400 million plus or minus into the Montana communities. One of the things about Montana that's great is, I mean, you said it, it's a beautiful place, great residents, the folks love it here, but it's the second fastest growing state in the country and has the second slowest broadband speeds. So the infrastructure has not really kept up with the needs of the community. And, you know, we saw this and said we could be part of that solution at TDS, and that's why we've been here. You know, we started actually in Billings. Billings was the first place we started, but as we've gone through, we've gone through Billings, we've gone to Great Falls, Helena, Missoula, Butte, and it's been a really, really receptive set of communities. They've really wanted to get better broadband and better connectivity to these communities.
Well, you know, one of the things, we had this conversation, I forget who we were talking with, but we were talking about how Montana was all, actually, I think it was with some you know, interesting entrepreneurs and military veterans. We were having a cigar in Bozeman, actually, and we were talking about how it used to be that Montana was the place where you were from. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to get a good job, have a good gig, you had to move somewhere else. And now Montana is the place where people want to be. But if you're that Montana kid that wants to bring that big job back to Montana, you got to have connectivity, especially for remote work. And I know it's been frustrating for me over the years where it's like, okay, so whoever your internet provider might be, say in a bigger town like Billings, well, they keep raising your rates or trying to raise your rates. But the other alternative, okay, maybe it's cheaper, but it didn't have that good of connectivity. So you really had no competition. Now we're actually starting to see some competition amongst providers.
Absolutely. You know, to your point, part of the reason I'm out here is, you know, though I live in Wisconsin, my daughter, today's her first day of class at Montana State in Bozeman. You know, she loves it here. She wants to be a park ranger. And this is where she came. But the problem is that with all the folks coming to Montana and wanting to take that job to Montana with them, the broadband connectivity wasn't working for them. And the reason fiber internet, what we're bringing to market, is so much better for that type of customer or that type of Montana resident is it's a much more reliable and it has speed abilities that your cable network can't do. You know, Cable offers a really fast download speed where it's available, but upload speeds don't work. So somebody who's doing, you know, doing Zoom calls or Teams calls or anything like that, cable's not a good option. And so for that customer or that resident who wants a service that allows that, this gives that to them. This gives that next generation technology to the Montana businesses and residents.
See, I'm actually happy if the Zoom calls cut out and if the conference calls. I despise Zoom calls and conference calls. It's like, couldn't you have just sent an email instead? Really, I got to spend 2 hours in a meeting that could have been handled over an email. So I'm okay if those parts cut out, but you can... You can manufacture that. You can just, and then blame it on your internet provider if you want to. All right, quick break. Stand by. We'll get into some of the specifics right after this, right here with Montana Talks. Hail.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. If we get some time here at the tail end of this show, we'll see if we can sneak in some of your phone calls. If you got something you just got to share across the state of Montana. And then I haven't even looked at the calendar for tomorrow yet. I think tomorrow we may just have open phones for the full hour, so that'll be an opportunity for you as well. Yeah, the calendar's wide open for tomorrow. Shane West, the Chief Operating Officer for TDS Fiber. By the numbers, what are we looking at? It looks like this week's announcement for the Billings area alone, you're going to be able to provide fiber high-speed internet access to an additional 5,000 West End homes and businesses. What are the numbers across the state right now of internet access you're providing currently, but then also, you know, with the wires going in the ground, what the numbers could look like down the road?
Yeah. Absolutely. So currently we have about 12,000 residents and businesses with access to fiber internet from TDS. So we're about 12,000. Where we're ultimately going to end up, and the vast majority of those are in Billings, about 10,000 in Billings, because that's where we started. This was our first market we launched. But when we think about long run, we're going to be about 170, 175,000 addresses when we're done, with about 400 million in completely private investment. No government subsidies. We're doing this out of our own pockets. We think it's a great opportunity for both TDS and the state of Montana. If I want to go down that list in terms of where we're going to end up, ultimately, we're probably going to end up with around 63,000 addresses. We call them addresses, residents and businesses in the Billings area that will have access to our service, about 15,000 in Butte, 29,000 in Great Falls, 19,000 in Helena, and 35,000 in Missoula. Now, you know, when I talk about Helena as an example, I think that's Helena and Helena Valley includes some of the suburbs. I think about Missoula, it includes Lolo and some of those areas. So I'm kind of lumping some communities together. But we're going to get there with about 170,000 addresses, probably access 350,000 Montana residents will have fiber access from TDS, and doing it all ourselves.
Yeah, and did I see that's about a $160 million investment in the state? Is that total?
Or? That's just the build. And then it's pushing $400 million when you think about, you know, we're going to have technicians here. We're going to do donations and be involved in the communities. Over 10 years, we're going to push $400 million here in the state.
Wow. All right. Well, Shane West, Chief Operating Officer for TDS Fiber. Great to have you on the show, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, appreciate seeing you here. We've got a few minutes left here in the show. If you got something you want to talk about, looks like we've got a couple of folks already waiting on the phone lines from the first half of the program. 406-294-0970. Let's see. We got to Linda in Scobie talking about Supreme Court candidate Dan Wilson's tour across the state. Mike in Anaconda listening to KXTL. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. Yesterday I was in Butte and the Walmart Butte store, and I went in the men's bathroom and there's a bunch of guys in there, and I said, what the hell? There's no tampons in here. I think the one guy fell off his stool. He was laughing so hard.
Oh, that's so they got the joke, huh?
Oh, they got the joke. And in fact, I asked several Walmart employees later on. I was kind of having fun with it. And in fact, I approached one guy and he said, well, and I'm surprised they don't have it because Walmart's a little on the woke side.
Well, you know, here we are talking about internet connectivity, you know, across the state. But man, you know, you got to get Kamala Harris and tampon Tim Walz out there so we can ensure that there are tampons in every men's room across Montana, right?
Yeah, we should get it okayed by Tester. See if it's okay.
Oh, he's good. He's good. We don't even need to double check. He's already voted in support of men and girls' bathrooms. So, yeah, don't worry. He's already given you the green light. Don't worry about that.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on.
Hey, did you hear Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, the guy who let Minneapolis burn, the guy who put tampons in the boys' bathrooms for fourth graders? He's up there saying that they believe that we should just mind our own damn business. It's like, wait a minute, you're the guy who wanted to throw grandma in jail for defying COVID lockdowns. You're the guy that was shutting down businesses and canceling school sports. And yet he's acting like he's the one who thinks government should stay out of our lives. I mean, give me a break.
Hey, Aaron, one thing I've learned with this little story, though, and I've told it in several places. In fact, I called them, I probably had 15 relatives. And, you know, those people are going to pass the story on. We want people to be aware of the stupidness of this administration that's potentially coming in.
Well, and, you know, tampon Tim, I think David Noble, who filled in for me on the show on Friday, he's pointed out you can call him tampon tester, too, for supporting these same types of policies. Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, Mike, you got to tune in for Friday's show. We're going to have an incredible guest, a gentleman by the name of John Graves. He's the CEO of Million Voices. You think about it. When the elections roll around, you're going to have 10 people that are going to call you or message you and say, hey, what do you think about this candidate? What do you think about that candidate? This guy has an incredible new tool that they're going to be launching this week that will help you communicate with your friends and your neighbors with a simple fact sheet regarding the elections. Anyways, this is going to be a very cool guest that's going to join us. He's been to Montana several times. That's going to be coming up Friday, though. Thursday.